Grace and peace to each of you, from God our Heavenly Father, and from Jesus, His Son, and our Savior. Amen. So our Wednesday Lenten services have been canceled for this year, along with everything else, due to the virus pandemic. Aren't these indeed strange times to be living through? But the Word of God continues. That's pretty much a given throughout the Scriptures. No matter what the world throws at us, you simply cannot stop God's Word. It stirs up in the hearts of His people. It bubbles out of them, as it always should, but especially when times are tough. It's no coincidence that for everything else which has paused or stopped in these times, spring is still coming. It won't be long until the trees bud and the grass turns green. The leaves will return with blossoms and the branches will be filled with birds. And this will come at just the right time for us, at a time when we may be feeling especially dried up and stagnant. Nature will return to life. I'm really very much looking forward to that. Where I sit at my temporary home office, I can see the bare trees and bushes and brown grass, and I can't wait until it's all green and I can open the windows and hear the birds. It's coming very soon. It's nearly time. Well, this was the same message which God brought to the children of Israel during that time when Jesse's tree had been cut down, when it was no more than a stump. The nation had been destroyed. The northern 10 tribes of Israel were simply gone, and the southern 2 tribes called Judah were captive in Babylon. Or maybe to make that seem more real, we can use the modern names. Imagine if Iran wiped out the north of present-day Israel, and Iraq had destroyed the city of Jerusalem and taken the people as slaves to Baghdad. That's exactly what happened, just using the modern names. Today's Baghdad is ancient Babylon. So, as we talked last week, the great and mighty and influential kingdom of Israel, which had grown out of the line of Jesse, seemed all but gone. But God had promised to preserve the line of Jesse and David and Solomon. The following kings had gone from bad to worse, and the nation had been cut down, that's the stump of Jesse, but the promises God had made for a new and greater king than even David or Solomon, those promises would remain. Of course, Jesus would be born of the house and lineage of David. In fact, both Mary and Joseph were from David's line. And we know that Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus, who is the source of every blessing and the rebirth of God's people and the King of kings and Lord of lords who will reign forever in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is the point of all of this. He is the tree of life. And by our connection with Him, we can all be reconnected to God through Him. But in the meantime, for the Jews who were captive in Babylon, and also for us as we are still captive to sin, there are signs of this life popping up everywhere all around us already. You don't need to wait until heaven to experience the life which Jesus gives. It won't be fullest or complete or pervasive until we're all in heaven, that's true. But through the prophet and the apostles, God points out the continuation of life all around us, even now, through the ongoing picture language of trees and plants. So while the people of Judah, that's the southern 2 tribes around Jerusalem, while they were captive in Babylon, God said through the prophet Ezekiel, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, propound a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel. Say, thus says the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings and long pinions, rich in plumage of many colors, came to Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. He broke off the topmost of its young twigs and carried it to the land of trade and set it in a city of merchants. Then he took of the seed of the land and planted it in fertile soil. He placed it beside abundant waters. He set it like a willow twig, and it sprouted and became a low-spreading vine, and its branches turned toward him, and its roots remained where it stood. So it became a vine, and produced branches, and put out boughs. And there was another great eagle, with great wings and much plumage, and behold, this vine bent its roots toward him, and shot forth its branches toward him from the bed where it was planted, that he might water it. It had been planted on good soil by abundant waters, that it might produce branches and bear fruit and become a noble vine. Say, thus says the Lord God, Will it thrive? Will he not pull up its roots and cut off its fruit so that it withers, so that all its fresh sprouting leaves wither? Will it not take a strong arm or many people to pull it from its roots? Behold, it is planted. Will it thrive? Will it not utterly wither when the east wind strikes it? Wither away on the bed where it sprouted. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Say now to the rebellious house, do you not know what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem, and took her king and her princes, and brought them to him in Babylon. And he took one of the royal offspring, and made a covenant with him, putting him under oath, the chief men of the land he had taken away, that the kingdom might be humbled, and not lift itself up, and keep his covenant that it might stand. But he rebelled against him by sending his ambassadors to Egypt, that they might give him horses and a large army. Will he thrive? Can one escape who does such things? Can he break the covenants and yet escape? As I live, declares the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwells, who made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant with him he broke, in Babylon he shall die. Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company will not help him in war, when mounds are cast up and siege walls built to cut off many lives. He despised the oath in breaking the covenant, and behold, he gave his hand and did all these things. He shall not escape. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely it is my oath that he despised, and my covenant that he broke. I will return it upon his head. I will spread my net over him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon to enter into judgment with him there for the treachery he has committed against me. And all the pick of his troops shall fall by the sword, and the survivors shall be scattered to every wind, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it in a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird in the shade of its branches. Birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, I make high the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. Ezekiel 17:1-24. So God himself has explained the parable of the twigs and branches and seeds in the revelation to Ezekiel. The first mighty eagle who tries to replant with sprigs is the king of Babylon. That won't work. The tree will wither. In fact, what he tries to accomplish will wither and die. So also the king of Judah, who did not rely upon the Lord, but instead tried to make a treaty with the king of Egypt to defend Judah. His efforts also will fail and end with his dying in captivity. But then the Lord himself will replant the sprig. This will be God bringing back from captivity in Babylon the remnants. Remember that tender shoot growing out of Jesse's tree? And God will plant them back into the promised land. And what God plants will not only take root, but will grow and thrive. From this planting, which God does, Jesus will come and all the world will be blessed. We are not to gain our security from relying on other powers, be that the king of Egypt or our own plans and projects. We can only gain life and grow and thrive as we remain connected to God himself. It was true for the Israelites. It's true for the church today. And God will see to it that we are not only blessed with life, but also with real and eternal life through his Son. We have a tendency, even in our own day, to believe that we must rely upon the freedoms granted to us by our government, or rely upon the plans and projects of our church leaders to guarantee that the church grows and thrives. But for all the freedoms we enjoy and for all the plans we make, whether or not our own faith remains and whether or not the church grows and thrives, It relies only on our continued connection to God, specifically to Jesus, the vine to whom we are connected. Stay connected to Jesus, and you will stay connected to God. Stay connected to God, and you will have what you need to live and grow and thrive, not only now, but also for eternity. That's the lesson for us here. In the Gospel reading, Jesus tells the parable of the mustard seed as recorded in Mark chapter 4. Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds of earth. Yet when it is grown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Now, the mustard bush isn't the biggest tree on earth, but if you're into growing herbs in your garden, then the mustard bush is very significant as a planting in your garden. It has the littlest seed, but it grows into the most formidable bush in your garden. Birds don't normally make nests in the dill or in the mint, but they can in the mustard bush. The point is that it isn't the size of the seed that's important. It's what sort of seed you have. And while God does big things on earth through important and powerful people, he builds the kingdom of heaven through insignificant, often unnoticeable people like Mary and Joseph or any of the Lord's disciples. And I find that's also true in our congregation. Over the years, I've had professional finance officers and professional marketing directors who make big plans for the church to reach out to the community and to grow the size of the congregation. But more times than not, the biggest, grandest plans and programs produce a lot less than the single, unnoticeable individual who simply clings to God's word and God's promises. Let's teach the children about the love of Jesus. Let's pray for and with one another. Let's invite our family and friends to participate with us in the congregation. And one church member often ends up doing more for the kingdom of God than any of those high-powered plans. Are you hoping that your growth as a child of God will come from following a program or plan? Probably won't. Instead, look for those places where God has promised to be at work, in worship, in prayer, in his word, in the blessing of your baptism, and in the otherwise unnoticeable bread and wine of communion, which are, in fact, the smallest seed, but give the greatest growth. Jesus didn't come to establish an earthly kingdom or religion or revolution. He gently taught people from the word of God. He reached out to common people in simple, loving ways. And through this otherwise unremarkable man from Galilee, God has built the kingdom of heaven as he, like a seed, dies and was planted in the ground, only to rise on the third day to new life and to deliver the salvation of the world. All of this plant talk is everywhere in the scriptures, even in the parables of Jesus, and it gives us a way to clearly describe and understand how God is at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.